I try to get as much sleep as possible, but yeah, I can manage some sleep now and then.
Two of these I want to talk to you about. Then I want to play the game I discussed to you earlier. First of all, of course, is a local kid, defensive end John Graves of Meadowbrook, who you say may be the next State of Virginia top 10 player to make a decision. He hopes to make a commitment by Christmas. He's got some visits coming up. Mm-hmm. When we talked about Graves earlier, we were kind of thinking he was leaning toward Cavalier way, correct?
Right, exactly.
What's the latest on him? Is he still leaning that way, and how's that going to go?
Well, certainly not as nice a lead as Virginia probably once had. If John was thinking seriously about making a decision before his senior season started, and I think if he would have decided then, I think Virginia would have been the choice. But he decided to go ahead and play out a season, and then he did take an official visit to the University of Georgia during his senior season. But then I think he was intent on taking at least two specific official visits, which, of course, Virginia and Virginia Tech. And at this point, I would give Virginia the slight edge. It's closer to home, I think, which is kind of important, even though Virginia Tech's obviously not too far. But I think that seemed to be a decently important factor to him. And then also, he's known the Virginia coaches for a long time. He has a great relationship with the Virginia Tech coaches as well, but maybe the Virginia coaches have been around him. He's been able to go up to Virginia many more times than Virginia Tech, so there may be a comfort level there. Those are the factors why I would give Virginia the slight edge right now. But at the same time, he's going to take an official visit to Virginia this weekend. He's going to take an official visit to Virginia Tech next weekend. So it's still very close. I would say I give Virginia the slight edge, but Virginia Tech's going to get that last shot in terms of official visits. And then, so you never know, and Virginia Tech could certainly blow him away, and he could just end up going to Virginia Tech. I don't think that would be a huge surprise, but Graves is certainly a pretty big recruit for both schools, and particularly Virginia, who this is probably their best chance at a top 10 player in the state of Virginia at this point anyway. So it should be an interesting 2 weeks. Right now I get the edge to Virginia, but certainly you can't really call him in Virginia's block just yet. Virginia Tech certainly has done a great job with him up to this point as well, and we'll have a shot to impress him on an official visit.
Now, their season's done, right? I should know this. I was out of town. I checked their website, and the game ended late. My daughter asked me, because you and my daughter share an alma mater, high schools. L.C. Byrd beat Meadowbrook in overtime, right?
That is correct.
So L.C. Byrd is moving on, and Meadowbrook's season is done, which is too bad for Mr. Graves, but it does give him more time to concentrate on some visits and getting this done. Next week, I think you heard me at the intro, we come on 5 to 6:30, and we'll definitely have some news, be it good or bad, because according to the update you did, decision date for four-star linebacker Navorro. Is that how you pronounce it? Navorro Bowman?
That's right.
He is of Suitland, Maryland, and he's got three schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he kind of whispered to you he actually had two. Did he? You got any clue who the two are?
Well, that's kind of going around. I would imagine if I had to take a guess, I would say Virginia Tech and Penn State. And Penn State for sure is one of those schools, I believe. And then the other one, Virginia Tech or Ohio State. I would have to say Virginia Tech's probably, if there is a he did say there was a top two. So my guess would be Penn State and Virginia Tech. But it seems like a lot of people like Penn State's chances a lot right now, and that may be the way he goes. He liked Virginia Tech a lot early on in the early going, and but I guess the key with Navarro, he didn't really take a visit to Virginia Tech until his official visit, which was for the Miami game, and that was the only time he had been at Virginia Tech. And he went to Penn State and had a chance to, obviously see Penn State up close, had a great official visit at Penn State, and Penn State has done a great job recruiting him. And I think both schools, Virginia Tech and Penn State, he seems pretty comfortable with. But it seems like Penn State, he lists off quite a few factors in terms of why he likes them. And if I had to venture a guess right now, it seems like Penn State would be probably the best guess at this point. He's going to announce, as you said, next Wednesday. I believe he said about 3:30. It's going to be on ESPN News, and he's getting ready for that national announcement. So it is down to three: Penn State, Virginia Tech, and Ohio State. With Penn State looking like the probable team, but you never know. We'll see. I know Navarro early in the process mentioned to me how much he really liked the ACC and he likes Virginia Tech's defense and how the attacking style of defense that they have. So will be a fun decision to watch. But it looks like at this point, probably going to go to Penn State.
Interesting. And I know LaShawn McCoy is another recruit. It's a lot of Penn State-Virginia Tech battles going on this year.
Definitely, and LaShawn is right there as well in terms of Virginia Tech versus Penn State. LaShawn's also taken official visits to USC, and I believe he's either going to or has been to the University of Miami. And those are really the four schools. You mentioned Virginia Tech, Penn State, Miami, and USC. And a lot of people think that he's probably going to stay closer to home, and especially after he suffered an ankle injury this year and was out for the season. So the thinking is that he's probably leaning towards staying home, which obviously favors Penn State and Virginia Tech. I know Coach Rogers has done a great job recruiting him, and I know Bishop McDevitt's Coach Wechter has a fondness for the Virginia Tech staff, and I believe knows Danny Pierman pretty well. So Virginia Tech's got some factors going in their favor as well, but Penn State, again, is a team right there. But I think it's going to come down to Penn State, Virginia Tech, and we'll just have to see where LaShawn ends up. I think a lot of people are guessing, but it's kind of a tough choice right now. I know LaShawn seemed like he had a pretty good official visit at Virginia Tech, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Interesting, because of the smart money, should Virginia Tech beat Florida State and advance to the Orange Bowl, is that it will be a Virginia State-Penn State Orange Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the great journalist that I am, I interviewed the president of the Orange Bowl while waiting for a facility in the restroom at the press box. You know, the new press box isn't quite complete. So I'm looking up. You know, here I am. If I was a really great journalist, I'd have taken care of this before the game. But I looked up and said, you know, I really need to talk to the Orange Bowl guy. And he had left the actual press box and was in one of the nearly completed suites that they're actually using for the game. So I was going to try to figure out which one he was in, and I wanted to stop by the restroom first, and there he was. So we just went ahead and had our little conversation, and he indicated that they would definitely get the winner of the ACC championship game. And the way the process goes is that the Fiesta Bowl would pick next, and smart money's on the Fiesta Bowl taking Notre Dame. And then it would go to the Orange Bowl, and they said they would definitely take Penn State to play Virginia Tech. Now, of course, the Orange Bowl is in a great situation because you get a great matchup there. That'd be a great matchup for our coverage purposes with Michael Robinson being at Penn State. But if Virginia Tech doesn't win, they get Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno. So the Orange Bowl people have the biggest grins in the bowl world going outside of the Rose Bowl. That has nothing to do with recruiting. Where were we? I'm kidding. Yeah, we're talking about Penn State, Virginia Tech. Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting. I mean, so maybe some of these kids are on the fence. We'll wait and see who wins that game. Call both coaches and say, "Let's up the stakes there, Frank and Joe Pa. You win the game, you get me." Before we go to break, let's do one more update. When we come back, let's talk about some sleepers. Visiting with Chris Horn on the TechSideline.com recruiting report. Another one of your many updates the last couple days. Jarrell Miller, the linebacker from Highland Springs, who is announcing at the Army All-America Bowl in San Antonio on January 7th. I mean, this is, you know, ESPN News. Come on, dudes. Call your local newspaper or your local recruiting reporter like Chris Horn. Quit with this national TV stuff. But anyway, what's up with him?
Jarrell has taken official visits so far to the University of Tennessee and the University of Virginia, and he's got Virginia Tech set for December 7th and 8th, and he's got, immediately after that, he's got UNC for the 9th and the 10th. And he's thinking about going to the University of Florida this weekend, but Jarrell, when I talked to him, was just thinking about that. He wasn't sure. If he doesn't make the trip to Florida that weekend, I think it would be tough for him to make a trip to Florida. So obviously Florida needs an official visit to be in contention there. I think Virginia Tech, you know, developed a great relationship with him. You know, Jarrell always comments on the relationship that he's developed with the coaches, Billy Height, Bud Foster, and Jim Cavanaugh, and just has developed a great relationship through going to camps, and obviously Highland Springs has sent quite a few players to Virginia Tech. So it's, you know, Virginia Tech, I thought you mentioned kind of easy money. I think it's Virginia Tech's probably the safe choice right now, but at the same time, whereas in my opinion last year it seemed like Macho Harris kind of was really just going to end up at Virginia Tech, I don't get the sense that Jarrell knows at this point exactly where he's going to end up. And I think UVA is a team to be to contended with, and I know he likes the 3-4 defense. He's mentioned to me that his favorite player is Ray Lewis, who played in the 3-4 when Baltimore ran it. Obviously, they don't run it now, but that's one thing he noticed. And another thing, I think the playing time availability probably would stand out to him as well with UVA. And UNC's in there. Tennessee is in there as well. I know in terms of UNC, he's been down there a couple times. Wyatt Hicks, who was another Highland Springs standout, goes to UNC. So I know Jarrell's been down there to visit. And Tennessee, I know he's developed a great relationship with the recruiting coach from Tennessee, Larry Slade. I think he has a lot in common with Coach Slade, and seems to really like him and really enjoyed his official visit to Tennessee. So really, it's Virginia Tech's, is maybe the place he's going to end up, probably the place he's going to end up. But at this point, I think Jarrell's still thinking seriously about these other schools. So it should be a fun process to watch. And these official visits coming up, Virginia Tech and North Carolina, should be pretty big. And after that, you may get maybe a better telling in terms of where Jarrell's probably going to end up.
We're in the middle of the TechSideline.com recruiting report with ace recruiting reporter Chris Horn, who's been updating us on some of the news that you can read regularly, daily, multiple updates daily, it seems, on TechSideline.com and TheSaber.com. He also covers University of Virginia recruiting. But, Chris, you rank, everybody ranks, we rank, I'm rank. I wonder sometimes, two things. Let me tell two quick little stories here. Ken Hicks, of course you remember him. We talked about him a lot 2 years ago. Number two prospect in the state at the time. Signed with Maryland. Didn't get in. Showed up at Virginia Tech. Isn't playing. Not doing well at all. And I was at a practice last week, and one of the great things I like about dealing with Frank Beamer is that, A, we can go to all his practices. And he's just such a good people person. And, he'll come over and chat with us sometimes during a period when he's not doing something hands-on. He's on his way over to talk to me, and he stops, and, Hicks is there working on some stuff, and he puts his arm around Kent. And a nice conversation. He told him that he knew he was disappointed. He said, but don't be discouraged. Lots of times it doesn't work out right away. Some players take time. Just keep doing what you're doing. He said, but you got to promise me that you're really going to work toward the spring, because this spring is real big for you. And yes, sir, coach. He goes, all right, you just keep working hard. Make sure you have a big spring. I mean, he took time out for a guy who was a little down in the dumps. Now, there's a highly ranked guy that isn't doing too well in every list. That's no knock on you or anybody else who had him high. It's a guessing game. Mm-hmm. Draft picks don't work out, whatever reason. Then all ACC comes out, and, of course, Will Montgomery is the center. And this is a guy who knew he wasn't going to get offers at high school. He just wasn't big enough. So guys his size didn't get offers. But he's a heck of a player. And anybody who's seen Will play knows that he's all ACC for a reason. The guy's good, and I'll stick my neck out not very far right here and say he's going to be a pro. He's some NFL team. He might not be a first-rounder, but somebody's going to find themselves a real gem. There's a lot of Will Montgomerys out there. One of the reasons Tech has success is it does a pretty good job of finding them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about John Bivens a couple weeks ago. Of course, the Prince George player is getting more and more on the radar. He's already got the offer from Virginia. You rank 30 guys. You probably consider 100. Who are some guys who didn't make the cut that maybe are going to be pretty darn good down the road? And, maybe they're not going to get an offer, Chris. Maybe they'll get a Will Montgomery. Look, we don't know if we can offer you right now, but come walk on. Let's see what happens. And that worked out. Who are some of those guys out there?
Well, I think, you mentioned John Bivens, and I think he's certainly a kid to start with who has a Virginia offer. He's getting a look from NC State, plays for Prince George High School in Prince George, Virginia, in Central Virginia. And John, a 6'2", 215-pound prospect, if he would have played as a junior, played football, he probably would have a handful of offers as opposed to just the one from Virginia. And he's a prospect to watch. And I guess Rossi Dowling, who's a 6'2", 185-pound kind of wide receiver, defensive back out of Deep Creek, is another kid who I actually really had a chance to see him at the Chesapeake Combine earlier this year. And he really stood out to me in just his athleticism, and he's long, kind of lanky, but he's got tremendous athleticism, and he attended Virginia Tech summer camp, and he says he ran in the 4.4s there, so obviously he's got some speed. And he's actually attracted offers from Virginia and Virginia Tech, and he was kind of another player that was kind of quiet on the list a little bit. He plays basketball as well. Another Deep Creek standout, Billy Cuffey, who's 6'5", 320 pounds. He also kind of stood out at the Chesapeake Combine. Billy unfortunately had a hip injury as a junior, didn't play pretty much the entire season. He's healthy now and has had a solid season this year and is drawing a lot of interest. I don't believe he has any official offers at this point in terms of 1A offers, but Virginia Tech's giving him a look, and Virginia's giving him a look, and some of those type schools. East Carolina's in there as well. So Deep Creek's got a couple of those sleepers that you're talking about that could even creep up on the top 30 list, the postseason list. Another kid who I had a chance to see in the Norfolk Combine is Trevor Bray out of Greenbrier Christian Academy, and he's a 5'11", about 250 pounds, I believe. He's committed to Georgia Tech, so he's going to a pretty good school. But he ran pretty well at the Norfolk Combine. I believe he ran in the 4.6s, high 4.6s there, and just a really solid player for Greenbrier Christian, and earned an offer from Georgia Tech, and that's where he's going to head. And Cam Chancellor actually had a chance to do an interview with him a week ago. Very impressive young man, a 6'4", 215-pound quarterback out of Maury High School. And Maury's got some talented athletes, and like I said, he's the quarterback. I was talking to his coach, Dilton Cotton, and he was just mentioning to me how he thinks he can really play quarterback on the next level. He's a tremendous athlete, and as I mentioned, he's 6'4", 215 pounds, and he's tough. He plays with injuries. He actually had a separated shoulder, or somewhat of a shoulder injury this year, and played with that. And then he actually broke his thumb last year and played with that. So he's a tough kid. And Coach Cotton was just mentioning to me his work ethic really stands out. And JMU has offered him, and I'm sure JMU would love for him for Cam to really fall to them, I guess. And Cam's not getting as many 1A looks right now. Marshall's showing a little bit of interest at this point. Virginia Tech requested film, I believe, this fall. But Cam is a kid who made no bones about it. He will go to JMU. He's not going to try to go to prep school to try to maybe raise his stock or anything like that. But he would look forward to the opportunity of going to JMU, and he really wants to play quarterback on the next level. And if he's got that work ethic, he's kind of shown that he's got the toughness, and he led Maury to a really successful season this year. Lost in the first round of playoffs to a really good Thieves team, 49-48, and was total shootout there. But he's a guy that really you could watch, and he seemed impressive just when I had the chance to interview him. So those are kind of just a handful of guys that that have impressed me so far in terms of guys that may not be in the top 30 at this point, but could really be impressive players. And one other player from Lansdowne, actually, who already has obviously a lot of talent, Rashad Phillips, who's a 6'4", 210-pound defensive end slash wide receiver, has drawn a lot of Division I A interest just this year off this year's performance. I don't think he played a lot last year, if any, and mainly known as a basketball player heading into this season, and really showed well in video, and Coach Beatty did a good job of sending out some video, and Kent State came in with an offer, I believe Indiana, Syracuse, some of those type teams. So you could just those are some of the names, I guess, to kind of watch for the future in terms of different in-state talent that may not be in the top 30, but guys that you can maybe expect to be productive in the coming years.
Just out of curiosity, when you did your top 30, Chris, how many did you consider?
It's certainly a good amount. I try to watch as much video as possible, and obviously the players who have Division I A offers, basically the top 30 list is of the college prospects. So if they have Division I A offers, I think that that shows a lot, especially just if a 1A team obviously thinks enough of you to go ahead and offer a scholarship, that kind of bumps you up there. But at the same time, I look at a lot of video, just talk to a lot of different sources. So there are a lot of kids I look at, and basically I think the truest evaluations can come after the senior seasons are over, because of some kids that may have blossomed a little bit later, and or some kids who are quote unquote sleepers. Basically that, maybe they didn't perform as well their junior year, just kind of developed physically before their senior year, where like John Bivens didn't even play football as a junior, but plays this year. I think you'll get probably a better sense of which players should be high on the list. And actually one player that I do want to mention who did make the top 30 is Dwayne Priest out of William Fleming. Now, Dwayne is just, an outstanding player, a defensive back, or he's a safety and a running back for William Fleming. And I believe he's about 5'10 or 5'9, 185 pounds. Doesn't have maybe the speed for the 1A level. I think his speed is probably about around 4'7, maybe 4'8, probably about 4'7, maybe high 4'6. But he's just a football player and just really, really can hit really hard and just loves to play the game. And I believe JMU has offered him. So he's a kid who I did put in the top 30. Does not have a 1A offer at this point, but I think Dwayne's going to be a player that if he does get picked up by a 1A team late in the recruiting process, then I think he'll certainly make that team pretty happy. Otherwise, I think you'll see him do really well on maybe a lower-level team and maybe one AA type squad.
And you will rank once more this group, right?
Yep, that's right. I have a postseason coming out, and we'll try to get more video, more senior video to look at first before I do anything. But I do have one coming out, postseason rankings, hopefully sometime in December.
All right. Well, Chris, as always, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. We appreciate all the information and your time. And next week we'll be on a little bit early, and we'll have a press conference to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. Looking forward to it, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Chris Horn, the recruiting reporter for TechSideline.com and TheSaber.com. If you're not a TSL Pass subscriber, you ought to be.